for the love of God. Knows no limit, no measure. We are on Acts chapter 2. This is the third Sunday. We're still on page 1 of my notes. I think we might get a little bit of movement today. Pentecost is such an amazing event. It's when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. It's available to each and every one of us. And so we're looking at Acts chapter 2, the day, the birth of the church, also an annual celebration in the life of the church on a day called Pentecost. And I want you to know how that made a difference. Think about in your life the biggest day you've had so far. Graduation of kindergarten. Remember that? How a big deal that. Remember the day you learned you could read. Remember that. Or what about the day you figured out your gozindas? How many times does 9 gozinda 81? Things like that. You'll get that later, won't you? Yeah. My niece told me that. She says, I know my gazintas. And I'm like, okay. My brother said, you know, like 9 gazinta 81, 9 times? All right, never mind. Jamie, I'm glad you're here today. You bailed me out, man. You know what gazintas are. Did that give you enough time to find Acts chapter 2? Do you have it? Okay, read verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. On one sat each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Lord, would you help us today with these verses? Would your Spirit direct us as the author of Pentecost? Would you speak to us who have assembled here today and bring us your peace? And may your power resonate in these vessels. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one more blessing, as you would, of the day of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. The same Holy Spirit that was poured out that day is still being poured out and being poured into us this day. The first verse says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I need to let you know that the slides today are the ones we had from last week. In your bulletin, it's a little bit different, so you'll just have to follow along and find out where we are. Does that make sense? It's not going to be real confusing, but I don't think they're underlined for this week's notes. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This was a time when the promise of God was going to be fulfilled. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Jesus keeps his promise, and on this day, on the 50th day, the day we are studying, when Pentecost had fully come, the power of God was demonstrated. And the power was power to make a witness, no more, but no less. It's so the light of the gospel could be exhibited in your life. We know that the Holy Spirit arrived as a mighty wind. There suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Having the Holy Spirit within us does not mean we get to control him. It means he gets to control us. Do you understand the difference? He now controls us. It is the wind who directs us. The wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we are now filled to do God's work, ministering in his power. And we actually become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Is that good news? You catching up to this? Am I hitting you too fast? Does anybody need me to slow down? You got your fast ears on tonight or this morning? Where are you? I don't know how you're catching up to this. This is the more excited I get, the faster I talk. Speed reading. Okay, we're slowing down just a little bit. God's power, the demonstration of his power, is the power to witness. It's like a fire. There are some components to a fire. The two things we understand very early in life is fire has a cleansing capacity to it. Have you ever seen somebody take a needle and pass it through the flame? Anybody know what they're trying to do for the needle? If you got a splinter in your finger, watch out. You know what's about to happen, don't you? They pass that needle through the fire. It cleans it. It cleanses it. That's a part of the purpose of the fire, is to remove those things that would infect or affect us. But also the candle gives a light, doesn't it? So there's light and cleansing properties to the same flame. In Acts chapter 2, it says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. We now have a light that shines in darkness. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that illuminates our life. It literally becomes our light and a lamp for cleansing and to establish our steps. The flames from heaven rest upon men and women. This is a gift of God. It's a good gift. It's a good thing that happens to us. This cleansing, this sanctifying is the thing. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. We can easily and clearly see what God is doing in people's lives. This conforms the work of the Holy Spirit. The light of Christ rests upon us, fills us. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. Does that get your attention yet? The same one who spoke, let there be light, now says, you are the light. And we know that the darker the night, the brighter the stars appear. Isn't that true? The dark night, you see the lights very clearly. Those stars shine. As a matter of fact, Paul says, we are as the stars in the universe, that you can become blameless, harmless. Again, this is the work of the Holy Spirit that makes us blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault. Again, the work of the Holy Spirit. Where do we live? Where do we work? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Sounds like they knew what the world was going to be like now, doesn't it? Crooked and perverse. Anybody, does that resonate kind of where we are in the world today? Dark. Again, these words were written 2,000 years ago, recorded, they are still accurate today. We can be in the midst of crooked and perverse generation, without or among whom you shine as lights in the world. One translation puts that stars in the universe. The stars can be seen all over the universe, can't they? Both sides. We've only seen them from this side, haven't we? They are visible from the other side, but we have not been to that other side as yet. But we do need the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. We need the Holy Spirit to live a holy life, just like those living in darkness need light to see their sin. We are humbled when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but we cannot separate ourselves from the darkness. It is the Holy Spirit who does that. Do you ever find a flashlight? Maybe you remember October, or maybe the other. Well, even yesterday, that was Saturday, as I'm driving down 209, the traffic lights start going out in front of us. They were losing electricity as that storm rolled up through the valley. I come by Kohl's and the light went out. I'm like, I wonder what color it's supposed to be now. I get down to Wurtsboro and the light's red and all of a sudden it goes blank. I'm like, what color is it supposed to be now? All the lights go out there in Stewart's, all the lights went out in the little mobile there. The lights went off in the restaurant. There are no more neon lights. And I thought, oh man. So I come on up the hill. So I'm thinking, I'm not going through any more red lights. Seem to be putting them out. The force seems to be with me. I wasn't doing that. You know that, right? I don't have the ability. I don't have the power to knock lights out. I was just at the place where they kept going out. And so I'm glad I was headed up the hill because the storm was kind of going the other way. I started heading west. The storm was still traveling a wee bit north. So I traveled out of it. The back of my truck was full of water, and it was running the whole way out the hill, just running out. And I get up to the top of the hill, and it's beautiful and sunny. It was nice. Matter of fact, we moved a tree after that, but it wasn't raining here. Storm headed the other way. So this power that we begin to see is resting upon us. We don't know what it's about, but we know the difference because we cannot power ourselves up any more than a light bulb can. But we can prepare ourselves to be used, but we still need the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who dispels the darkness. The power of Christ can be made visible. It can be made visible in a miracle, or it could happen in something that we say, like even here today. I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to people's lives. He's touching hearts, transforming minds, because His power is at work in us. This meaning, more than just singing in church or standing to testify, the witness of the Holy Spirit is holy living in a not so holy environment. Are you glad He can help you live holy in a not so holy environment? As you sent me into the world, He prays for us. Jesus is praying for us. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus says we may be sanctified. I'm just repeating His words. I believe them. I know He can sanctify us. The distinguishing touch of the Holy Spirit is His empowerment. It comes upon us. It is supernatural. It is unique to heavenly power. It's not man-made. You know, I know it's not man-made. You don't get a bill for it every month. You don't have to continue to fill it up, right? Gasoline, powerful source. You got to keep filling your tank, don't you? Electric, get a bill every month, don't you? See how that works? Even if you burn wood, if you burn wood pellets, you got to go find them. God grows the trees, men sell the wood. Interesting concept, isn't it? So we know that the Holy Spirit is heavenly power because it is a gift of God. What an amazing characteristic. The Holy Spirit abides with us. He abides in us and manifests himself through us even when we do not understand how. Do you think the light understands how it causes photosynthesis to occur in the plants that cause them to grow? Have you noticed how quickly the grass is growing right now? Kind of got to mow it at least once a week, maybe twice. The hedges are growing so quickly, you got to trim them frequently. If you started in the beginning of May and went outside and sat and watched the grass grow, it would now be over your knees. When before, it was about an inch high, just barely poking its head out of the brown dirt. Now, a month later, there it is. They're getting ready to mow it for the feed. I seen them mowing the other day. Already grew high enough in 1 month, in 30 days. Do you think the light understood what it was causing the plant to do? Do you think I understand what's happening when I preach the Word of God, how it resonates in your heart and gives you hope and help and witnesses His power? Or what about the water? Do you think it understands how it blesses plants? I don't think it does. It hits some of it, even hits a rock and said, whoa, that was a rough landing. But it still blesses, doesn't it? Passes through the dirt, passes into underground rivers, eventually gets back to the ocean and then lifted again and comes right back somewhere, doesn't it? The water doesn't understand what's happening and how it blesses everything it touches. Sun doesn't understand how it blesses everything it touches. And we don't understand how we bless others either. Sometimes by telling the truth, you've blessed somebody, you don't even know it. You bless people by not stealing. Did you know that? There's all kinds of people you bless just by not stealing. God has so blessed me that I barely understand how I'm able to help someone. Frequently I ask the question, does that help? Because I kind of want to be a help, but I need to know if it does help. It's not much help if I bring sugar cookies to a diabetic. Right? You understand? I need to ask if I am helping. Doesn't help to bring a Chevy rim if you got a Ford truck. Does that make sense? If I have an engine to fit your car, you don't have an I bring the wrong one. I'll bring you a Dodge engine, and there you got a Nissan. What are we going to do with that? Yeah. We could all be in trouble. I need to ask, does that help? And God is able to help us. I need to tell you, God's at work even when you sleep. That's why I sleep. Does that make sense? If he wasn't awake, I would need to be. I'd want to sort of watch what was happening. But it is God who makes me look good even when I am awake. He schedules my appointments. He gives me divine adjustments. And he even causes prayer breaks. He orders our steps. And my ways are not his ways, because his ways are always higher than my ways. Do you ever invite somebody to lunch and they paid for it? That's just wrong. If you take somebody to lunch, you kind of want to pay for it. But what if they paid for you before they even sit down? I knew a guy one time that paid for it just in case I showed up. It's not even right. Trying to bless somebody and they're like, how much do I owe you? Oh, nothing. You still got a tab over here. Why do I have a tab? Somebody left some money. Said, put it on his account. On account of what? On account of he eats here, I think. Because I didn't know they had accounts. I called a lady the other day, and I had even forgotten I prayed for her. And I said, hey, and we talked a while, and I said, can I pray for you before I hang up? And she said, no. I said, I can't believe I can't pray for you. She said, you prayed for me last time. I'm praying now. Aren't you glad God's that far ahead of you? Aren't you glad he knows what to do? And one lady this week, I went by to encourage her, and she gave me some notes because she said, God says that his answers are wiser than my prayers. Is that an amazing thought? She said, I asked God, why didn't he answer my prayer? And he said, because my answers are wiser than your prayers. You get the point? He knows everything, doesn't he? The way we want things to work out probably wouldn't work out as way the way we thought they would. Isn't that true? Yeah, you go through all those struggles, and we just have to come to the conclusion that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. I think the psalmist tries to help us to understand that. This is what he says: I have set the Lord always before me. You need to be careful what you're looking at, don't you? You need to look at the Lord. You need to keep him in front of you. That's who you want to follow, right? Do you ever play follow the leader? Anybody know where the leader's supposed to be? Probably in front of you. And the psalmist is trying to help us. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You ever cross the street? Remember what was happening the first time you crossed the street? Somebody had your hand, didn't they? Aren't you glad somebody has your hand when you're walking across this world? Through these times of disappointment and grief and sorrow and desperation, aren't you glad somebody's got your hand? Doesn't that help? You can even stumble a little bit and they still hold you up. I bet Landon never walked so good as when he was holding Stanley's hand. I bet he was never so secure. Does that make sense? It's by design, isn't it? Any of you have to walk with a kid so tall or so short, you had to lean over? Most of the little kids I walk with, I'm like this, probably why my back hurts. No, it's not quite that bad. You getting the point? When you're holding someone bigger than you, you're a lot safer, aren't you? He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, because of this truth, because the Lord is before me, the Lord is with me, therefore my heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. He's starting to get the point of this. Why are you happy? It's not because I'm loopy. It's because the Lord's before me. He has my hand. My heart becomes glad, and I begin to rejoice. And my flesh also will rest in hope. Aren't you glad we don't just rest in peace? That has a different meaning, doesn't it? Yeah, that's going to be maybe on my tombstone. Rest in peace. This is rest in hope. We're still alive. We have some hope. We have some help. We have some help. Here's the promise. For you, talking to the Lord, you will not leave my soul in Sheol or leave my soul in hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Isn't that what we're looking for? Life. Abundant life. And life everlasting. And in your presence, guess what shows up? Fullness of joy. This is better. This makes you happier than a Geico commercial. You've seen them, haven't you? Yeah, fullness of joy, that's with the Lord before you, the Lord at your right hand. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the Lord has some pleasures to give us, not just for a moment, forevermore. Most of the pleasures that men give you are passing, aren't they? You get a new car. You remember buying a new car? First thing they want to know is, where are you going to get the car serviced? I almost came undone. Like, what are you talking about? Are you going to use us to service your car? What? I just got a new car. It only have 10 miles on it, and you're worried about where I'm going to get it serviced? Yeah, it needs maintenance. Are you kidding? They're not, are they? In this place, and it's the Lord who provides pleasures forevermore. You need to remember that. You're looking for pleasures, looking for joy. Guess where it is found? Keeping the Lord in front of you. Know that he's holding your hand. Does this help a little bit? Hope it helps a lot. Now I'm ready for verse 4. I guess we'll do that next week. I think we're getting through this at God's rate. Does that make sense? I'm looking at this. It's a Greek term. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. I pronounce it kairos. I had a Greek professor who was from Texas. So he spoke Southern Greek, and I learned from him. As a matter of fact, when I was in the seminary, they used to ask me to read when we were reading from the Greek New Testament. They'd say, "What could Roy read?" I thought they enjoyed me reading. It was they'd never heard it like that from anybody before. They would sit there and enjoy my reading Greek. I thought that was rude until somebody caught on and said, "That's not a compliment when they ask you to read Greek. Don't read anymore, because you're disturbing the class." I thought, "What?" Said, and I told him, "Well, my professor was from Texas, and I speak Southern Greek. So I'm not sure how it's supposed to be pronounced accurately. I say it's Kairos. We'll figure it out when we get to heaven, won't we?" All right? And what that means is it's God's time. It's God's timing. And God's helping us to be at the right place at the right time. And I think these scriptures were for you because God knew you'd be here today. Does that make sense? He wants to help you. He wants you to be filled with what? Hope. He wants you to know that there are some pleasures available. Only God will tell you that. Does that make sense? Your present circumstance, you cannot see past the darkness. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us to the right place at the right time, for helping us to preach your words. And again, we don't have to do that perfectly. It's part of the joy of serving you, that even when we cannot grasp what we're saying, your Spirit has the capacity to help us and to adjust and to direct us to the right place at the right time, and even remind us of illustrations and times and seasons and helps, so that the people who have gathered here today can know of the power of the Holy Spirit to transform their lives, to make them witnesses, no more, no less, but a holy vessel in this present world. Thank you for your promises, for your provision, and most of all for your presence. And Lord Jesus, thank you for that vision that as we go from here, we are holding your hand, that you are before us. You know where we're going. You know how to give us hope. You know how to bring us pleasure and fill us full of joy. Before I say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anybody just want to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, would you be praying for me?" Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone need to join me at the altar before we go? I would pray for you if we need to do that. So we'll say this benediction, and then I would meet you at the altar for a time of prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us here to this point. Not just to the point of time, but to the place where you can bless us and help us on our journey of faith. Thank you for these listening ears, for allowing us to hear what the Spirit says. So direct our steps, bring us to the place where mercy and grace and power are all demonstrated in Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.